now the company that owns diversity, diversity, diversity.
You have caused confusion.
Oh, fascist moron.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to another Office Hours. Thanks. I'm a little bit late because I was watching clips for a Tony Blair video that I've made for. I've recorded the video for next week, and the video was basically on Blair's rhetorical technique of saying, "People say, blah 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 blah," then reeling off the concerns of the people. And then pivoting and saying, "What I say to you," right? He did that a lot. Like he did this thing of, "Oh, I understand your concern. Well, now I'm gonna pivot to some other point." And it's actually a very clever, disarming rhetorical technique. And I've done a whole video on it because as the seller of foundations of rhetoric, I was interested in these sorts of techniques. Trouble is, I can't bloody find an example of him saying it. Right now, thousands of people will watch this show. You know, maybe 10,000, 20,000 people will watch this show. It's one of you, maybe Max, my old Blair compatriot in arms, will be able to find the clip of Blair saying this. But then what happened is, looking for a clip of Blair saying this, I ended up just like watching tons of like young Tony Blair when he was the Prime Minister. And I then realized, actually, Blair was pretty feisty. You know, he's very combative in interviews with Paxman and on Question Time and talking to like students and things like this. He was actually very, very embattled when he was the Prime Minister. He was constantly arguing with the crowd and arguing with like his own supporters and things like that, which I think is kind of also interesting. So I might even scrap the first video and do a whole video on Blair in combat mode, because it's kind of, I don't know, I kind of find it quite interesting. I mean, look at how he, I'll just play one here. Look at how he absolutely savages this leftist who asks him a question. This is at the Labour Party conference, right? At the Labour Party conference. Absolutely chews out this this leftist. Let me just play this here. We will get on to them. We will get on to Shapiro and so on in a second. But I have to show you this. Watch this bit of footage here.
Services budgets have been cut. Pensioners are worse off. You introduce the minimum wage, but you don't raise it. And yet, did you not spend the whole social service budget per night on bombing Kosovo? My question is, can you please tell us how you are going to address these things in the future and make sure that things improve rather than decline?
Let me just try and deal with that. Because you were effectively saying we've done nothing for anybody. But when we have introduced the national minimum wage, that was the first time it had been done in 100 years by a Labour government. Right? For the first time in 100 years. Now, you can say that it's not enough, that you want more of a minimum wage. But I'm telling you, 2 million people in this country, for the first time, got the benefit of a minimum wage. And when you say £100 is not enough for the winter allowance for pensioners, well, we'd like to do more. But it's £100 the Tories never gave people. It's £100 they take off them again if they're ever returned to power. And when you say that we've done nothing for families in this country, he has put in the largest increase in child benefit this country's ever seen. It's money that would never have gone in under the Conservative Party.
Yeah, you hear that, Karen? Take that! Take that, Karen!
And if you say that we've done nothing for families and inequality and poverty in this country, ask the 1.5 million beneficiaries of the Working Families Tax Credit that has put £20 or £30 into the pockets of families, hundreds of thousands of them, in this country under a Labour government. And the New Deal, The biggest ever programme for unemployment, the biggest ever programme introduced by a Labour government, 700,000 extra jobs in the economy. And what do people like you say? Because it's not perfect, you've done nothing, and therefore I'm walking away from it. It's pathetic.
He just absolutely chewed out a Labour, a paid up Labour member at Labour conference.
And as for this rubbish that we took the whole of the social services budget and blew it on Kosovo, first of all, the figures are nonsense. Secondly, I want to tell you this about Kosovo. I think the day that this movement, with its values, when we could do something about it, would walk away from the worst case of ethnic cleansing and racial genocide since World War II, we'd have something to be ashamed of.
Oh, so anyway, there was that. Also, when I was trying to find a clip of Blair saying that, I found this old gem, right? I found this absolute chestnut buried in the archives.
Services.
Oh, no, not this one. Hold on. Let me show you this because it explains so much about the state of the current Tory party. Let me show you this. Hold on.
But take a step back and be proud. This is a changed country. Above all, it is progressive ideas which define its politics. That's the real result of a third term victory. And there's the Tories having to pretend they love it all.
Now, what I find fascinating about that is that he gaslit them so hard, and William Hague and Michael Gove had to pretend they loved it so hard that now, fast forward, and they're literally his minions. They're his reeks. Literally, William Hague is like reek for Blair now. It's dark. It really is dark. And I find it a fascinating study in power. But what I noticed watching these Blair clips is that he would absolutely dominate dissenters in the way that he blasted out that Labour woman there. But he did it in settings that you don't expect. Like, I was watching Question Time, and students were like kind of, you know, asking about tuition fees. And he was just sitting there chewing out like an 18. It's kind of interesting. So I may have to rethink that video, because that video is all about empathy and building rapport and trust. But Blair also had a pretty vicious side. Now, today we're going to be talking about the ongoing feud between Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes, his new little tag team partner, against Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin. It's a fascinating, I mean, talk about pro wrestling, the back and forth promos. Mark Levin cuts a massive heel promo, which I did the video on yesterday. Fuentes firing back with a baby face, dusty, and almost like Stone Cold versus Vince kind of promo, firing back at him, you know. My family came on the boats, and we had to work our way up, brother. Oh, it's fantastic. I love it. It's so much fun to watch this back and forth. There's actually a little bit of extras on the Levin part of the feud, because do you remember this guy? Right. See this guy here, right? He was at this Republican Congress thing. Well, people online have unearthed footage of him, okay, speaking not even that long ago. Let's take a look at this character, shall we?
16, I volunteered for the Jamal Bowman campaign.
Whoa.
I marched with Black Lives Matter. I marched at the Supreme Court when Roe v. Wade was overturned. So I have some degree of legitimacy or credibility when I say, I can compare my progressive credentials to most Jews and really to most Americans any day of the week.
So he marched with BLM and he marched to oppose the overturning of Roe versus Wade. And now he's sitting in a Trump sweatshirt
And all this as an Orthodox Jew.
All this as an Orthodox Jew. And that was also something I was never really able to articulate or rationalize, how I can have relatively conservative religious principles while at the same time being fairly politically liberal. Mm-hmm. My cop-out was essentially, well, the two are separate. I don't believe that anymore. I think my religion very much influences my politics. And I think all Jews should be Jewish first and then, based on their Jewish values, vote accordingly. In 2016.
Just incredible. Just incredible. That, I mean, I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw that. So, as blatant as that, it was. Anyway, speaking of, I'm going to be talking about, I'm going to spend the entire show today breaking down and watching. I haven't seen it. I'm going to watch the full 40 minutes of Ben Shapiro smoking this Monte Cristo number 3. hopefully my voice holds up. But we're going to watch the whole thing. And but before I do so, because I'm going to be using the skills of the Trivium, logic, I'm going to break down his logical arguments. I'm going to be analyzing his rhetoric. I'm going to be looking at the quality of his writing, even though he's talking. And I'm going to be trying to do it. This is going to be a real test today. I'm going to try to do it as much as possible in a value-free manner, okay? Which is pretty difficult because if you don't know, I'm not a fan of Ben Shapiro. I'm kind of, to say I have a side in this particular battle would be an understatement because I'm definitely Team Tucker, not Team Shapiro. But in the interests of an academic, an intellectual exercise in rigor, I'm going to try to give the devil his due and analyze each argument as it comes, okay? And we're going to analyze it in real time. But before we go on, I will play my Trivium ad and then take a sip of a weak lemon drink. And if I can find the clip, hold on. All right, then we'll play Shapiro.
Now from the academic agency.
Yeah, pick up a course today. Join 4,000 plus other students at the academic agency. How'd you like them apples? Okay. Now, Shapiro. Let me get the video up. I need to find it. I've downloaded it in like super HD and everything. Oh, it's Shapiro. Did it not come out? There's the Shapiro vid. I thought I downloaded it. Oh, blimmin' heck. I'm going to have to download it again, I think. Didn't come through. Hold on. Give me a second. Now... While I'm downloading this, this is the thing with the watching American politics is that it really is. When I say it's like pro wrestling, it really is like pro wrestling. You know, when the Tucker Nick feud started, I was like, yeah, this is going to end up with them. You know, there's going to be a blow off here, right? There's going to be a blow off. And now, I'm like, well, what is happening? We've had this speech from Mark Levin declaring war, essentially. We've got all this coordinated hit on Tucker Carlson, right? So where can, like, this is, I mean, the question in pro wrestling is always, is it a shoot or is it a work? What's actually happening here? And that is a question to be asked on an ongoing basis, like, because there is such a thing as dialectical, like, how can I put this? there would have been another way to go, okay, for the Zionist crowd here. Okay, they could have strategically yielded. They could have just allowed this to kind of go unanswered, but they have chosen to fight, and they've chosen to fight in a really kind of quite aggressive way at a moment where they're really not very popular. And that interests me. It's just, I mean, you know, these are meant to be like masters of strategy, high IQ and so on. And I'm like, is this the way to go? I did actually come across something that basically may explain why they're being so gung-ho. And that was something that happened 5 days ago. It was an announcement by the ADL. Okay, you can look this up. 39,000 lawyers, okay, have offered to work pro bono, that means free, okay, for the ADL, basically launched as a way of doing like mass lawfare on quote-unquote anti-Semites, okay? And this is part of a new kind of Green Blatt initiative to like declare war, quote-unquote, okay? And I find it interesting that we're getting this kind of renewed vigor from Levin, who declared war at that conference the other night, likes of Ted Cruz. Now we've got this massive push from Ben Shapiro. And I'm wondering if all of this is a pretext to some like massive legal action coming from this. I mean, 39,000 lawyers, that's an army. I actually had a look at this. Like, that is more lawyers than Belgium as a country has soldiers. Bigger than the entire Belgian military worth of legal team working for free. So it could be that they just tried to sue their opponents into obliteration. There's going to be an awful lot of lawsuits, though. You've got the entire like pro-Palestine left to deal with. And now you've got like, you know, the 6 million people who follow Tucker, or all of the Nick and the Groypers and so on, or all of these other Israel critical voices. What, they're going to just sue everybody? Is this really the way to go? You know, I've been reading Louis Althusser of late, you know, again, the Marxist philosopher. I do have the video. I've got the video twice. Why couldn't I find it then? Okay, all right, I'll look for it again. And he talks about the ideological state apparatus, that is arguments, trying to win in the marketplace of ideas and so on, debates. And then he talks about the repressive state apparatus, which is essentially the power of force, the power of the state. And it seems to me that we're lining up for an attempt for them to transition into an exercise of genuine hard power. What else is an army of 40,000 lawyers for? So that's something that may be coming down the pike, which will be interesting to watch play out. All right, I've got it.
I want to do something different on today's show. We're going to cover one topic in depth. That topic is, I think, the most important thing happening in the country. It was a hot topic last week, but I wanted to take some time to really gather my thoughts and speak on it in coherent fashion, holistic fashion. That topic is the...
Can I just pause and mention something really quite petty? Why is it that conservative movement books, right, that come out, they love that font? I have come to despise it, okay? It's very like, you're watching Uncommon Knowledge. You're watching Uncommon Knowledge. And here's my guest, the esteemed Thomas Sowell. For about 5 years, every video I watched on YouTube defaulted to a Thomas Sowell interview, okay? And there's something about the trappings. It's always like a kind of big leather chair, maybe like a bit of classical music that comes in, and then this sort of font. Maybe somebody who's in the business can explain to me why they always go for that. But anyway, let's carry on.
Fragmentation of the political right. That fragmentation is being caused purposefully by a splinter faction of people led by a young man named Nick Fuentes. They call themselves the Groypers. They are white supremacists. They hate women, Jews, Hindus, many types of Christians, brown people of a wide variety of backgrounds, blacks, America's foreign policy, and America's constitution. They admire Hitler and Stalin. And that splinter faction is now being facilitated and normalized within the mainstream Republican Party. The main...
They've both mentioned Stalin, by the way. I noticed Mark Levin slipped in Stalin, too. Poor old Stalin. It's only just getting... Only the truth is now coming out about, you know, what he did for the USSR and some of the lies told about him. And look, how the Trotskyists fight back, eh? Anyway, well, that's a topic for another day.
Agents in that normalization is Tucker Carlson, who is an intellectual coward, a dishonest interlocutor, and a terrible friend. And Tucker Carlson last week was aided, abetted, celebrated for normalizing Nazism within the Republican Party by the mainstay organization of the traditional right, the Heritage Foundation. Now, before we explain what's been happening, let's make one thing clear. This is not about free speech or cancellation. It was never about free speech or cancellation. Free speech has a definition, the right to speak free of governmental coercion. I believe in it, of course. I've always defended it. Criticism of bad speech is, in fact, just a form of free speech. Cancellation also has a definition, the banning of particular people, including people like Nick Fuentes, from platforms like X or Facebook. I believe that Nick Fuentes is odious and despicable, but I've never called for his cancellation. And in fact, I've called for his restoration to those services, despite the fact that I think he's odious and despicable. It is not cancellation to draw moral lines between viewpoints. In fact, we used to call that one of the key aspects of conservatism. It is not cancellation to refuse to signal boost Hitler supporters like Nick Fuentes. It is not cancellation to criticize Tucker Carlson.
So this, I will just point out, directly contradicts points made by Mark Levin. It directly contradicts what Mark Levin was saying in his speech, you know, which was to the, you know, the Jewish conservative community, you know, whatever it was called. In that speech, he was boasting openly, if you remember, we canceled Pat Buchanan. We canceled, you know, he was boasting about it. And he defended those cancellations as a principle of the free market. In fact, I might even play that little bit from Levin again. I might even play that bit from Levin again to remind ourselves exactly of what he said, because it's... you know, he was boasting about it. I'll just get my own video up, and we'll, because I put the compilation at the start. Let me just get that up again. Just get up this bit from Mark Levin boasting about canceling people, because if you ask me, Ben Shapiro is not being fully truthful here.
Whether it's Tucker Carlson or whether it's Nick Fuentes, and I've been looking over my shoulder looking for help. And you know what I found? Nothing. Nothing. We're here today to do something about this. What do you mean we don't cancel people? We canceled David Duke.
Did they cancel David Duke? I don't know who the we is in this sentence, by the way, but Ben Shapiro. Was David Duke canceled? Yes or no?
Donald Trump canceled David Duke. We canceled Pat Buchanan.
Did you cancel Pat Buchanan, Ben Shapiro? Because you've just denied. You're saying you're not for cancel culture, Ben. Your mate, your compatriot, your comrade here is saying exactly the opposite. Let's see who else they canceled.
We canceled the John Birch Society. We canceled Joseph Sobran. We canceled pornography on TV. We cancel stuff all the damn time. Hitler admirers, Stalin admirers, Jew haters, American haters, Churchill haters. You're damn right we're going to cancel them and deplatform them.
All right. So what Ben Shapiro just said, see, what it seems like is that both Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin had a memo with the same talking point on it. Hitler lovers and Stalin lovers and Churchill haters or whatever, right? Because they both mentioned that. And then maybe the second line was, we need to make an argument for canceling these guys again. Mark Levin possibly because he's lower IQ than Ben Shapiro, just looked at it and was like, right, I'm just going to fucking make the argument for cancelling them then. Shapiro, maybe slightly, maybe like a couple of standard deviations above Levin, was like, oh shit, that's not going to play well. How am I going to sell this? And that's what that's really, really, really what it feels like to me. Press one if you agree in the chat and press two if you disagree.
It's called the market system. They don't have a lifetime job like a bureaucrat.
Interesting. That's the market. So canceling people from public life is the market system at work. And it's the government. It's government that guarantees that people aren't cancelled, but it's the marketplace that does the cancellations. Huh. Also interesting, because in Ben Shapiro's opening spiel, he also mentioned the government. So it really does feel like they've got a memo with a set of talking points, and then they have poetic license maybe to buttress them in various different ways. But yeah, kind of interesting. Obviously, there's some degree of coordination going on. That I don't think that's much of a stretch. It's just funny that Levin has just gone for right, I'm gonna barge through like a massive elephant. I'm not even gonna try to finesse it. Whereas Shapiro, he's like, right, I'm gonna try to like weaselly argue that this is not really cancellation. Levin, nah, I'm gonna fucking cancel you, mate. You know, bruiser. Whereas, yeah, okay. Let's get back to Shapiro.
Carlson, for rhetorically fluffing Nick Fuentes and other anti-American crackpots. It's not cancellation if you urge others to stop promoting those who rhetorically fluff Nazi apologists. Those are all elements of free speech.
No, but I've just established that all of those things are cancellation as per Mark Levin. So, I mean, you know, they're blatantly just, they are cancellations, Ben. Value-free analysis here as well.
And anyone who says differently is lying to you, and lying for the most cynical reasons.
So Mark Levin is lying to us for the most cynical reasons. Got it. Okay, let's see where else we go.
To misdirect from their own defense of those Nazi apologists and their promoters. The issue here isn't that Tucker Carlson had Nick Fuentes on his show last week.
That is the issue, though, isn't it? Because all of you are attacking Tucker Carlson at the same time. There's a massive coordinated hit campaign against Tucker Carlson right now. And it happened after he had Nick Fuentes on his show. So clearly, that is the issue. That is the issue, Ben. Otherwise, you wouldn't be making this show.
He has every right to do that, of course. The issue here is that Tucker Carlson decided to normalize and fluff Nick Fuentes, and that the Heritage Foundation then decided to robustly defend that performance. Those who criticize both Tucker and Heritage aren't canceling. They are quite properly drawing a moral line. So, for those who don't understand...
Hold on. So, when the woke were canceling people, in their own rhetoric, they were drawing a moral line, weren't they, Ben? They were saying that what you're saying is morally despicable to them, and therefore we're going to cancel you. You, Ben Shapiro, can't speak at our campus. So what's the difference here? It's exactly the same. There is no distinction whatsoever between these things. So far, and we're only a couple of minutes in, I give Ben Shapiro's rhetoric 0 out of 10. I give his logic even worse out of 10. Especially when he's been directly contradicted by a speech that millions of people have just watched.
What's going on? Let's begin with Nick Fuentes. Now, as I mentioned, last week, Tucker Carlson had on Nick Fuentes. Fuentes is a 27-year-old man who's dubbed himself the leader of a movement called the Groypers. He has a large audience of alienated young white men in particular, and he's earned increased media attention over the course of the past few years, especially over the last year. Now, from Tucker Carlson's interview, you might have gathered that Fuentes has some borderline views on race, a peculiar obsession with what he calls organized Jewry, and a rather sad relationship with the female sex. But probably you came away thinking that, for the most part, Fuentes lives on the radical edge of normality. You think that if you watch the interview, because Tucker Carlson decided that it was important not only to host Fuentes, but to smooth over his views, water them down, and make them far more palatable to a normal audience. as we'll discuss in a bit.
But, I mean, in fairness, you do that when you speak to nutters from the Israeli government, don't you? We don't have Ben Gavir on spouting the shit he talks in Hebrew in Israel, right? Or when you talk to Netanyahu, it's like, oh, Bibi, what's better? Like, is it French fries or hot dogs? Do you burgers or hot dogs, Bibi? Do you like the mustard or do you like the ketchup? It's never like, mate, how come you've just killed 70,000 people? It's never like, why are you always talking about blood libels and Amalek and all this crazy shit? So come on now. You don't play highlight reels of the worst stuff that Israeli ministers say when you talk to them. You smooth it over and you present it in a palatable way for your own audience. So, you know, I'm just saying that, like, you know, let what was it? The Jesus said, let he who has not sinned cast the first stone. Let he who has not sinned cast the first stone. And you, Ben Shapiro, on this particular topic have sinned quite a lot, haven't you? Okay, I hope my mention of Jesus didn't, you know, make you come over with hot boils. But come on now. This is like, obviously, Tucker was not going to bring on Fuentes and do a hit job on him or present him with gotcha clips from 5 years ago. Obviously, he wasn't going to do that. Just as when you have guests on your show, you don't hit them with gotchas.
Is what Tucker Carlson does for a living. But back to Nick Fuentes. To understand just what Tucker did here, we must actually examine what Nick Fuentes says on his show and has said for almost a decade, because he was asked precisely zero questions about any of what you're about to see by Tucker Carlson. Nick Fuentes says women want to be raped.
A lot of women want to be raped. And when I say raped, I mean like, that sounds bad when I say it like that. But there's like a lot of women that really want a guy to beat the shit out of them. But also they have to pretend, but part of it is they have to pretend like they don't.
Nick Fuentes says that his followers should kill, rape, and die.
No, hold on a second. We're not going to analyze that statement. We're not going to, okay, all right. It's provocative. It's controversial. It's, you know, in bad taste the way he said it. But remember, Ben, facts don't care about your feelings. Remember, you taught me that. Facts don't care about your feelings. So I'm going to look up now. Going to look up right now. Going to fact check Nick live on air. How many women have... Let's take a look. Studies indicate that between 31% and 62% of women report having had rape fantasies at some point in their lives. A 2009 study found that 62% of female undergraduates had a rape fantasy. Ah, right. So that is, and the source of that is a study, which I will pull up here, live on air. So the study... The Nature of Women's Rape Fantasies, an Analysis of Prevalence, Frequencies, and Context by Jenny Bivona and Joseph Critelli. Results indicate that 62% of women have had a rape fantasy. Okay, all right. So, foundations of research. Facts don't care about your feelings. Well, turns out, okay, you put it in a provocative manner, but the claim is not without some evidence, right? It's not completely outrageous that he said that. There's a factual basis to it. I don't really care how you feel about that, Ben, because facts don't care about your feelings.
In his name.
Raise your right hand. All right, everybody, raise your right hand. Raise your right hand. Repeat after me. I will kill, rape, and die for Nicholas J. Fuentes.
Nick Fuentes says that women are whores who shouldn't be in politics.
I will continue my crusade against women in politics. Because it's always like this, and it's so ironic. Women are like, I don't like, when you say, I like, you have to affect the face. When you say to repeal the 19th Amendment, that offends me. That hurts my feelings. It's like, have you ever stopped and considered that maybe if you get offended, there's such a strong emotional reaction to political opinions you disagree with across the board? Maybe that's one of the reasons why you shouldn't be making political decisions. I'm not attacking women. I'm attacking whores. You have no problems, right? I'm attacking whores. I'm attacking sluts. Stupid, dirty bitches.
Nick Fuentes?
All right, now, again, let's just stop. Okay, he's put it in a provocative manner. But now let's stop and think about the actual implications of what he's been saying, okay? Ben Shapiro, I'm sure, would agree that the trajectory of Western countries since about 1920 onwards, this country, America, Europe, you know, it hasn't been exactly going onwards and upwards, up and up and up. Many of the things that Ben Shapiro complains about in his conservative writings have been voted on by women. This is just, again, let's keep feelings out of this. I'm just talking about the facts. Then when we have a look at the behavior of women in office, here is Sam, the former Prime Minister of Finland, Sanna Marin. Okay, is this not the sort of behavior? This is the sort of behavior that Nick was describing. Okay, is Ben Shapiro all right with that? So again, I'm not saying that you should repeal votes for women and all of that sort of thing. I'm just trying to take each statement as it comes and think about the content of the argument. And Ben Shapiro is not doing that. He is not engaging with any of these points seriously. For example, Ben Shapiro is a Republican. One of the points that Nick made in the interview with Tucker Carlson, that if only men voted, the GOP would win all of the time. Last 20 years of his career, lamenting every single policy that the Democrats have brought in wherever they're in power. But Democrats are overwhelmingly voted for by women. So, he's not even hearing it out. He's just saying, oh, this is shocking. Oh, this is shocking. It's just shocking. That's problematic, man. That's what Ben Shapiro's doing here, acting like a wokester. He's acting like a wokester, isn't he? So, I am not saying here that necessarily, this is a pretext to, repeal women's rights or whatever, but I'm saying the substance of the argument, regardless of what your feelings are on the matter, the facts over the feelings are that it hasn't actually led to a good trajectory. This is why classical liberal hero Herbert Spencer in the 19th century, even though he initially supported women's rights, very quickly was like, oh, hold on a second. They're going to vote for socialism and stuff that we don't like. We better stop it. That actually happened. You can look it up. And I'm sure as a good old classical liberal, Ben Shapiro agrees with a lot of things that Herbert Spencer said. So anyway, let's carry on.
Jim Crow was actually better for black people.
Now, hold on a second. That is also a claim that has been made by Thomas Sowell. I don't even need to see the Nick clip. That's it. That is like a standard Thomas Sowell talking point for the past 40 years. The data comes from Sowell. Look, they were doing better in the Jim Crow period in the 1930s and the 40s than they were after civil rights. Thomas Sowell's entire career thrown by Ben Shapiro.
It was better for them too, number one, but number two, who cares? Who cares? Enough with the Jim Crow stuff. Who cares? Oh, they had to drink out of a different water fountain. Big fucking deal. Oh no, they had to go to a different school. Their water fountain in that famous picture was worse. Who cares? Grow up, drink out of the fucking water fountain. It's water, it's the same. Even if it was bad, who cares? Who cares? It's better. It's better in general. We all agree it was better for them. It's better for us. Better in general.
I mean, okay, you can disagree with the manner that he made his point, but that tons of people have made this point. Thomas Sowell, Walter Williams, the data is there. Black fat. I've got a whole book here, right? I'm going to get it out live on air. Fact check. It was published in 1997, this book. It's called America in Black and White, One Nation, Indivisible, by Stephen Thernstorm and Abigail Thernstorm. Okay. And this book, okay, goes through educational attainment numbers. It goes through the rise of the black middle class in the 1940s. It goes through all sorts of things, performance under segregation and after segregation. And it tells a really, really, really clear story, which is that since the introduction of the mass welfare and social housing and the projects, okay, things have not been good. So this is a core, old-fashioned Republican talking point, Ben Shapiro. And you throw in all that work, right, for a quick, dirty little gotcha on Fuentes. You know, and that was probably like 6 or 7 years ago, that clip of him as well. Anyway, let's carry on.
Nick Fuentes says that white people are justified in being racist.
The reason that we talk about this, by the way, I know a lot of black people see this and they go, man, why are you always talking about black people, this and that? Because there just needs to be some shame here. Well, there's a few reasons. First, white people are every single bit justified in being racist. Every single bit justified, to the extent that that means going out of your way to avoid black people when you see them.
Nick,
are we gonna, okay, so, all right, he made that statement, but what was behind it? Am I gonna have to pull up the crime stats, the stuff that your colleague Matt Walsh has been pushing, that your channel, Daily Wire, talks about on a week-to-week and day-to-day basis when you thought it was politically expedient to mainstream these points yourself? Because you were worried about losing your audience, so you had to lean into the race and the crime stuff because that would stop people talking about Israel. I see you, Ben. I understand what you're doing here. It's a horrible hit job, is what this is, because these are all talking points that you have made on your content, on your shows. And don't tell me it hasn't, because it has. I watched you and Matt Walsh mainstream these talking points yourself.
Montez is a Hitler admirer and a Holocaust denier.
Buddy, it's Fuhrer Friday. It is Hitler Friday. Shut up. It is Heil Hitler Friday, nigga. Heil Hitler, all my niggas, Nazis.
Now, presumably, that was a reference to the Kanye West single being released that was called that. Now, obviously, you don't have to condone all of this, but that is what it was in reference to. I'm pretty sure.
Hitler was a pedophile and kind of a pagan. It's like, well, he was also really fucking cool. So, you know, time to grow up. We're not children anymore. Am I right? Am I right? Am I right, boys? Am I right? Let's go.
I mean, part of this, you could say, again, unfair from Shapiro, because Fuentes is 27 now. And these are obviously old clips. So you could say that these are the excesses of youth, couldn't you? This is the excessive exuberance of youth coming out, where he's going through a bit of a phase here, which he may have grown out of now. And you're trying to, like a wokester, going back into his back catalogue and trying to pick out the most incriminating things. You know, maybe he doesn't think like this anymore. You didn't ask him. So...
he was also really fucking cool. It doesn't really sound correct to me. Wait a second. It takes 1 hour to cook a batch of cookies, and you have 15 ovens, probably in 4 different kitchens, right? Doing 24 hours a day, every day for 5 years. How long would it take you to make 6 million? I don't know. It certainly wouldn't be 5 years, right? The math doesn't seem to add up there. The math doesn't quite seem to add up there. I don't think you'd result in 6 million. Maybe 200,000 to 300,000 cookies. And I think the Red Cookie Association said something like that. Probably 200,000 to 300,000 cookies baked. Probably. And in addition, you know, in this hypothetical, I imagine that if you took aerial photographs over the kitchens, you would need to see certain smokestacks to release the smoke from baking the cookies. And the smokestacks would project certain shadows, but I guess they're not visible in the aerial photographs taken over the kitchens. Moreover, if you look at the soil texture, it's really not deep enough for mass cookie storage underground.
Nick Flint.
So what's the response to that, though? What is the counter to the hypothetical that he posited in that clip? Right, because he was talking about cookies, right? He was talking about cookies. So what is the calculation that Shapiro comes out with? What is the counter argument? Again, I don't really care how this makes Ben feel, because facts don't care about your feelings, remember? So I'd like to see Shapiro address that point. Are you going to address it? You're just going to let it sit there? Because just letting it sit there, everybody in the audience is going to be like, okay, all right, what's the answer then? Okay, let's carry on.
Tez believes that the Jews start all the wars, that perfidious Jews in positions of power ought to be killed, and says the Jews are filth who have to be removed from the country.
And once again, remember who is responsible for it all. The Jews. They are responsible for every war in the world. It's not even debatable at this point. This has nothing to do with oil. This has nothing to do with democracy. This has nothing to do with liberal internationalism. We are at war with Iran because they pose a threat to Israel's hegemony. That's why we're bombing their nukes, to pave the way for regime change so Israel can dominate the region, because that makes them the most powerful they can be. There is an...
Well, is that true or not? Again, you've played the clip, but you're not going to do anything to counter the claim. You're just going to let it sit. And, like, this is enough to convince me that this is wrong. You need to do more, Ben. I thought you were a master of logic and rhetoric. Where's the counters?
The cult element at the high levels of society, and specifically among the Jews, so many of the people that are perpetrating the lies and the destruction on the country, they are evildoers. They are.
By the way, another talking point by Mark Levin was that Fuentes is not old enough to grow a mustache. So even that claim was wrong, because that is a pretty thick mustache. He looks like Ravishing Rick Rude there. That's a Ravishing Rick Rude style mustache that Nick has got there. So he is old enough to grow a mustache, isn't he?
There are people that worship false gods. There are people that practice magic or rituals or whatever. And more than anything, those people need to be, when we take power, they need to be given the death penalty. Straight up. And...
yeah. So he wasn't, he was talking about the specific people responsible for things that he sees as traitorous to his nation. He is not talking about all people from a certain diaspora. He is talking about a very specific subset of elites. Even I picked up on that. If you listen closely, Ben, even this clip does not say what you said it said.
I'm far more concerned about that than I am about even non-white people or mass migration. These people that are communing with demons and engaging in this sort of witchcraft and stuff, and these people that are suppressing the name Christ and suppressing Christianity, they must be absolutely annihilated when we take power. This is God's country. This is Jesus's country. This is not the domain of atheists or devil worshipers or perfidious Jews. This is Christ's country.
Josh Hammer and Mark Levin, fuck these people. Like, deeply, seriously, all real Americans, if you are a real American, if you were born...
I mean, this was a fire promo, this one. This was the reply to Mark Levin. I watched it myself last night. And I thought, man, that was a great reply, a great response. And Shapiro is playing it as a gotcha, as part of a gotcha compilation. It's not a gotcha. Mark Levin declared war on him and he fired back and cut a fire promo. How is this an own? Let's carry on.
Born in this country, I don't even care who you are, what you are. If you are a real American that loves this country, you have generations in this country, your family or you fought for this flag, fought for the Constitution, fought for our church, fought for our civilization. For all of you, I say about Josh Hammer and Mark Levin and Laura Loomer, fuck them. Fuck them. Deeply, seriously, get them the fuck out of our country.
Well, I mean, I can understand why he's saying that, because if you watch, again, I'll bring you back to the Mark Levin speech. Why was Nick so angry at Mark Levin? It's because he talked about this being our house, right? Mark Levin is trying to control the discourse of America, boasting about canceling various figures. Let's just remind ourselves.
Protect. And if they're your friend, there's something wrong with you. No Hitler admirer, Holocaust denier, platformer should be anybody's friend, as a matter of fact.
Well, Mark Levin is saying that Tucker Carlson, for having Nick Fuentes on his show, not only doesn't deserve to have a platform, but he doesn't deserve to have any friends. He's saying that Tucker Carlson should be in poverty, alone, without friends. That's what Mark Levin is saying. Mark Levin is trying to dictate what can and cannot be said in America. And he's openly arguing that Tucker Carlson should be a friendless, loveless loser on his own for even having this guy on his show. So, of course, Nick is going to come back and say, F you bloody get out. You're basically want to ruin my life. How about you get out of our country? I think it's a really fair response.
You don't get to wrap your psychotic, mental, unhinged, Nazi, Klan, jihadist bullshit around American patriotism.
Right, you just accused Tucker and Fuentes of being Nazi members, Klan members, and jihadists.
You don't get to claim you're MAGA and America first when you're lining up with the Marxists and the Islamists and Hamas and the terrorists. The cowards. We're surrounded by cowards who have microphones, who have TV cameras, who have websites, who have columns. Cowards. It's spelled C-A-R-L-S-O-N. It's spelled F-U-E-N-T-E-S. It's spelled O-W-E-N-S. It's spelled B-A-N-N-O-N.
That's Steve Bannon. He's saying that Steve Bannon, Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, and Nick Fuentes don't get, like, they, MAGA does not mean any of those guys. MAGA means like this. MAGA just means like return to William. MAGA is return with a V to William F. Buckley. That's what Mark Levin is saying.
It's spelled Marjorie Traitor Greene. You can figure that out yourself. And they're not alone.
Look how empty the room is, by the way. Look how muted the response is, too.
How are we going to attack the Mandamis and the Talibs and the Omars and the Sanders and the rest of them when in our own house?
Our house? Whose house? What Nick Fuentes is saying is that it's our house, our meaning American patriots, the American people. What does Mark Levin mean when he says our house? Our house. Whose house?
This poison is spreading. We've got to take care of business. We can fight the enemy on the other side. But the problem is, the more daunting problem, the more complicated problem is when they're in our house.
Our house. All right, it's your house. Interesting, because I thought MAGA was a revolt against all this bullshit. I thought MAGA was meant to be the Republican Party going in a very different direction, away from neocons, away from all of this, away from William F. Buckley, towards Pat Buchanan. That's what I thought MAGA was all about, for the workers. But no, Steve Bannon, that's our house, says Mark Levin. Anyway, let's get back to Shapiro.
Nick Fuentes, it should be mentioned, despises Donald Trump and the MAGA movement as well.
Fuck you. Fuck you. You suck. You are fat. You are a joke. You are stupid. You are not funny. You are not as smart as you think you are. You are, and honestly.
Yeah. Why was he saying all of this, though? Right? I remember I watched this live when it went out. Fuentes is saying all of this because Trump in that moment was going along with all of the stuff that Netanyahu wanted to do, covering for Israel. He was wearing America First and MAGA like a skin suit, okay, for Israel First. That is what this whole debate is about. So, of course, he's firing off on Trump and he's having a go at Trump because Trump has, in Nick's view, betrayed what that movement was meant to be in the first place.
And if you watch my show, you know I've been very critical. I've never been this far. This just goes to show this entire thing has been a scam. When we look back on the history of populism in America, we are going to look back on the MAGA movement as the biggest scam in American history. And the liberals were right. The MAGA supporters were had. They were.
Well, how is that a lie? How is that not true? As things stand, that is true. Mr. Never Trump, Ben Shapiro. Remember, you were against Trump. Do you remember that? Until the minute he then signed up for Forever Wars, magically signed up for, you know, bombing Iran and all the rest of it. Now suddenly you're his biggest fan. I remember 2016, you were very lukewarm on Trump.
So?
You denied shenanigans in 2020, I remember it. You pivoted immediately to Ron DeSantis. In those crunch moments when, you know, other people were there for Trump, you weren't there, Ben Shapiro. So, like, so what? Nick has every right to feel betrayed because he put his life in jeopardy for some of those causes. Actually put his life in jeopardy for those causes while you pivoted to keep your spot on CNN. I remember it. Only for Trump to end up doing what you want. Didn't end up doing what the base wanted. He ended up doing what you wanted, Ben Shapiro. That is why he was so upset with Trump in that moment. And he continues to be upset with Trump. And a lot of people should be upset with Trump. Because they didn't vote for any of this shit.
That right there is just a brief glimpse into the twisted mind of Nick Fuentes. And there's plenty more where that came from. Of course, hours of it per day, in fact. And there's no doubt that Nick Fuentes has a lot of play these days. That's because the left, by moving into a politics of anti-white, anti-Christian, anti-male identitarianism, created its bizarro mirror image, a white pseudo-Christian incel identitarian movement dedicated to destroying the institutions of this country and replacing Americanism with something else. Nick Fuentes' philosophy is not fully formed. It's an incoherent stew of malignity. But that's where Tucker Carlson enters the story. Now, since his exit from Fox News in 2023, when, of course, he was a very, very popular host, Tucker Carlson...
I just want to pause on what he said, though. An incoherent stew of malignity. He just laid out exactly why so many of those young, disenfranchised, you know, young incels, as Shapiro derisively called them, feel the way they do. Because they feel that their country does not work for them. And as fired up young men, of course they're going to want to pull down the institutions. Of course they are. Because if the institutions don't work for them, they're going to want to try to achieve political power to make the institutions to work for them. That is what politics is. That is the whole nature of politics and power. So don't pretend that it's incoherent. It's perfectly logical from his own point of view. This is worse than I thought it would be, because he hasn't actually presented any arguments. He literally just played a highlight reel with some gotcha clips, didn't try to rebut any of the points, and then just said, he's malignant. He's incoherent and malignant. Anyway, let's carry on.
Has turned himself into a conspiracist and a crank and a pathological liar. Tucker excuses Vladimir Putin's murderous and barbarous reign. He has even become one of his most ardent defenders.
It is so much nicer than any city in my country. I had no idea. My father spent a lot of time there in the 80s when he worked for the U.S. government and barely had electricity. And now it is so much cleaner and safer.
Well, is it true? Let's put it in terms that Ben Shapiro might understand. Is it true, Ben Shapiro, that Moscow under the Putin regime is cleaner and safer than Democrat-run cities? The Democrat-run cities that you've spent your entire career demonizing, running down, looking at the filth on the streets, the junkies in the streets, the crime everywhere, the daily homicides. You've made an entire career attacking those cities. So is it true, Ben Shapiro, what Tucker just said? Have you even been to Moscow to make the claim? Because Tucker went to Moscow and he said, it was pretty fucking clean there. And the trains ran on time. There wasn't graffiti all over the walls. I wasn't mugged off or stabbed, or I didn't go to Dunkin' Donuts and see four homeless guys sitting there. Anyway, let's carry on.
And prettier aesthetically. It's architecture, it's food, it's service than any country, city in the United States that you have to, and this is non-ideological. How did that happen? How did that happen? And at a certain point, I don't think the average person cares as much about abstractions as about the concrete reality of his life. And if you can't use your subway, for example, as many people are afraid to in New York City because it's too dangerous, you have to sort of wonder, like, isn't that the ultimate measure of leadership?
Good point, Tucker. Really coherent point, Tucker. Like Thomas Carlyle said, don't believe the statistics, believe the evidence of your own eyes. The evidence of his own eyes told him that no matter what the official state ideology was, London in his lifetime was a shithole. He walked through London and he saw crippled kids in the street. And he was saying, look, this doesn't show up in the stats. We've got a problem here. Somebody needs to take care. The government needs to step up, is what Carlyle was saying. And you can do the same thing in modern New York or San Francisco or Detroit or Chicago. I've been to Chicago myself. I used to love going to Chicago. Last time I went there, it was an absolute shithole. I'm not going to lie. I haven't been to Moscow, so I don't know. But I do think it is worth... Like, how is this a gotcha? How is this clip of Tucker Carlson meant to demonize him in my eyes as someone who cares about fact and not feelings?
And that's true. By the way, it's radicalizing for an American to go to Moscow. I didn't know that. I've learned it this week. To Singapore, to Tokyo, to Dubai and Abu Dhabi. Because these cities, no matter how we're told they're run and on what principles they're run, are wonderful places to live. So I guess...
I tell you what, if I didn't know better, this is like a massive advert for Nick and a massive advert, an even bigger advert for Tucker Carlson. If I didn't know better, right, Ben Shapiro just seems to be letting their arguments play without rebuttal. How is this a gotcha?
Yes, you put in 10 rubles here and you get it back when you put the cart back. So it's free, but there's an incentive to return it and not just bring it to your homeless encampment. I went from...
I don't know. Maybe this is all a massive work and they're all in on it together. And Shapiro and Levin are like, right, on this angle, we're going to play the heels and we're going to put you over big time, brother. Right? And it was, first of all, they were working with it. They were all in the room. And they're like, right, it's going to be Tucker and Candice. Going to be Tucker and Candice versus Levin and Shapiro. You know, prime time, Saturday night's main event. We're going to be there. Nick was in the room and Nick says, that doesn't work for me, brother. That doesn't work for me, brother. I'm the hottest thing in town now. Put me on the card, daddy. Put me on the card, boss man. Put me in, Booker man. Is that how it worked? Because this is fucking mental. The idea, and this has been hyped all over my timeline. Every single one of these $7,000 Hasbro accounts has been hyping this as the best podcast of all time. Ben Shapiro's best ever show is how this has been sold to me as a neutral punter looking on from the sidelines. This is Ben Shapiro's best ever show is how it's been sold to me. And yet it just seems to be a massive advert for his two biggest rivals. This is just an advert for Tucker Carlson. Anyway, let's carry on.
Amused to legitimately angry. So we were guessing what this would cost. Everybody hears from the United States buys groceries, and we didn't pay any attention to costs as we were just putting in the cart what we would actually eat over a week. And
yeah, we're 15 minutes in, by the way, and Ben Shapiro hasn't actually made an argument yet. He's just not made an argument. He thinks playing these clips, the clips, by the way, that made the clips that made Nick Fuentes have an audience of over a million people now, and the clips that made Tucker Carlson the biggest podcast, the second biggest podcast in the entire world. And he thinks this is an own. It's not an own. I've seen this shit before. I know what Tucker Carlson stands for and what he said and that he went to Moscow. I've seen that. We all watched it. It's not an own.
We all came in around $400, about $400. It was $104 US here. And that's when you start to realize that ideology, maybe doesn't matter as much as you thought, corruption. If you take people's standard of living and you tank it through filth and crime and inflation, and they literally can't buy the groceries they want, at that point, maybe it matters less what you say or whether you're a good person or a bad person. You're wrecking people's lives in their country, and that's what our leaders have done to us.
That's a fact, isn't it? That's a fact. If you wreck real wages and the real cost of goods goes up relative to real wages, that's a fact. This is just economics. Fact, and remember, facts don't care about your feelings, Ben. It's the economy, stupid. It's the economy, stupid. Wasn't that Ronald Reagan? Wasn't that like what you've been saying for the past 20 fucking years?
When Tucker Carlson interviewed Vladimir Putin, by the way, Vladimir Putin was so amused by Tucker Carlson's easy questioning that he actually mocked him. Tucker Carlson has massaged the Iranian dictatorship and admitted to not asking any difficult questions of the president of that dictatorship.
The interview is limited by a couple of factors. One, it was done by remote through a translator. That's always awkward. For another, I don't speak Persian. And there are all kinds of questions that I didn't ask the president.
Farsi, actually, Tucker. Come on. Culturally insensitive. Typical right winger.
Of Iran, particularly questions to which I knew I could not get an honest answer, such as, was your nuclear program totally disabled by the bombing campaign by the U.S. government a week and a half ago? There's no chance he's going to answer that question. Honestly, I didn't bother to ask it. The answer, in fact, from an American perspective, even from the CIA's perspective, is unknowable.
Tucker bizarrely worships at the altar of Qatar.
They're mad at you because you don't put your parents in some institution. Maybe they're trying to break up your families.
Well, it can be a reason. Honestly, I don't know what is really the purpose behind this, but...
What's the own here? Tucker Carlson's talking to an Arab dude. So what? You just started the show by saying that like racism is bad and all this sort of stuff, right? You, by your own kind of liberal ideology. Why not hear him out? Like the fact that he's got tea towel on his head is neither here nor there. Let's hear him out. Like, what's wrong? Like, what's wrong with Tucker Carlson talking to this dude? It's not like in and of itself, it's not an own.
We see that you know, a lot of things that are happening are attacks on humanity in general. It's when you lose the family value, when you lose the connection between the family themselves, you will lose the connection between the people as well, on a broader level, on the people in the same neighborhood, on the people in the same region, in the same countries. And that's basically...
Well, is that true? I thought Ben Shapiro was all about family values. There's a very sound, conservative points being made here. And if he's talking about Palestinian families, you know, they've been through a lot of suffering.
Will just make us, you know, as individuals who are... quote unquote, independent from anyone. That's what we will feel. Yet it will just make our societies vulnerable and easy to be penetrated.
Absolutely reasonable points made by the Arabic gentleman. Very, very sensible. Sensible Arab centrism.
That's right.
Tucker Carlson praises Venezuela's Nicolas Maduro, even as Maduro keeps the entire country in communist penury and ships fentanyl into the United States to kill Americans by the hundreds of thousands.
Why are we so opposed to Nicolas Maduro? So if you ask someone on the street, random person, why are we against Nicolas Maduro? The answer you're going to get is, who's Nicolas Maduro? But if you find someone in South Florida, for example, who knows who Nicolas Maduro is, who can identify where Venezuela is on a map, that person will almost certainly say, well, because he's a communist or a socialist, he's exceedingly left-wing. And that is true. Nicolas Maduro and his government are very left-wing on economics, not on social policy, by the way, which is kind of interesting. In Venezuela.
That is interesting. Why is it that so many socialist countries, you know, have a habit of not being socially left-wing? Good point, Tucker. So I've been thinking about those sort of, as a man of the sensible center-left, I think about these things quite a lot. Oh, good point.
Venezuela, gay marriage is banned. Abortion is banned.
So what's the issue?
Sex changes for transgenderism are banned.
I can see like Matt Walsh, you know, being like based. They'd love all of those things. These are things that many people in the conservative base, including like Ben Shapiro watchers, in theory, would all be behind. So what's the issue?
It's one of the very few countries in the entire hemisphere with those policies. It is on social policy, not defending the regime, just saying.
Tell you what, Tucker Carlson's thinking in the same way as me here. I've been exploring socialist regimes and left-wing thought recently and thinking many of these same thoughts. Good points, Tucker. Really interesting. Now, I don't actually know. I made a video years ago on, you know, when food price controls went wrong in Venezuela and people were racing out of bins and so on. But there were also very tight U.S. sanctions on Venezuela as well, which is, you know, part of one of the reasons. But they did put on heavy price controls on food. And under Chavez, I remember from my own video, they made the economy too dependent. You know, they ran a very oil-dependent economy, and when there was a spike in the oil prices, they had problems because they, you know, really you should run a more diversified economy. So that was a kind of an economic error by the Venezuelan government, I would suggest. But anyway, let's carry on.
One of the most conservative countries in North or South or Central America.
Interesting. I didn't know that about Venezuela. Really interesting point, Tucker Carlson. What's the comeback? What's the rebuttal from Ben Shapiro?
Salvador really comes close.
Tucker Carlson glosses Hamas, the genocide.
Oh, so you know, you're just going to leave? You're just going to let that sit again? No comeback? No like counters? All right.
Battle Jihadi group behind October 7th as a political organization.
You can't claim that they're in Hamas while simultaneously claiming that Hamas is group of jihadis. They're Islamic extremists, which they also claim constantly, which I don't know if that's true, by the way. It seems more like a political organization, but whatever it is, they're telling us constantly they're Al-Qaeda.
Tucker Carlson.
So what's the comeback?
Has attacked President Trump as a cover-up artist for sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein on behalf of Israel and Mossad, making sure, of course, never to mention President Trump's name, because, of course, Tucker's a coward.
And moreover, it's extremely obvious to anyone who watches that this guy had direct connections to a foreign government. Now, no one's allowed to say that that foreign government is Israel because we have been somehow cowed into thinking that that's naughty. There is nothing wrong with saying that. There is nothing hateful about saying that.
So he's right. Well, what's the issue?
Tucker Carlson has stated that President Trump has undermined America First and MAGA by attacking Iran, giving into neocon ghouls like.
Is this show being edited by by a griper? What the fuck? What is this? We are now 18 minutes in to Ben Shapiro's best show of all time, and it's just a showcase of Tucker's greatest moments. What's going on?
Mark Levin, while also idiotically arguing that President Trump striking Iran's nuclear facilities would lead to World War III. Spoiler alert, it didn't. Tucker Carlson also said in his interview with Nick Fuentes that the people he hates most in the entire world, more than ISIS, Al-Qaeda, trans-Tifa, Marxists, rapists, murderers, are Christian Zionists, who represent an enormous chunk of the conservative base. According to Tucker Carlson, who admits that he first read the Bible all the way through just 2 years ago, Christians who support a Jewish state of Israel are heretics and blasphemers with a brain virus.
How do you explain Mike Huckabee, Ted Cruz, and there are a lot like that, John Bolton? I mean, I've known them all. George W. Bush, Karl Rove. I mean, all people I know personally who I've seen be seized by this brain virus, mm-hmm. and they're not Jewish. Most of them are self-described Christians, and then the Christian Zionist.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point, Tucker, because it struck me that some of these people really do seem possessed, almost like a mind virus, possessed by some demonic force. And I've often wondered, what melts somebody's brain like this? It's a great point. It's an absolutely great point. What's the rebuttal then, Ben? Let's see.
Zionists who are. Well, Christian Zionists, what is that?
Right.
And I could just say for myself, I dislike them more than anybody, because what? Because it's Christian heresy and I'm offended by that as a Christian.
Tucker Carlson has said that he despises American Jews who care about October 7th.
I tell you what, right? Okay. Some of the Nick's clips were spicy, admittedly. Okay. Bit kind of cheap and nasty to pull up 7-year-old clips of him being edgy and so on, right? But I can see what was going on there. The Tucker section, just makes Tucker look good. I just don't understand. I've watched Tucker show. If I was doing this, I reckon I could pull out more incriminating Tucker clips than this. What is this? This is awful.
We, in his words, don't care about America and also want to get his kids killed in a foreign war.
I've got 4 draft-age children, so if you're playing recklessly fast and loose with their lives, then I have a right to despise you, and I do. So if you're Nikki Haley who's running for president, or Ben Shapiro, or half the people I see on television casually mentioning the possibility of nuclear war or sending Americans...
Does Ben Shapiro realize how unpopular, one, how popular Tucker Carlson is, and two, how unpopular Nikki Haley is after kissing that bomb? Is he in it? It's he's out of his. How is this? This is so bad. I'm wondering if it's a work. I'm seriously, my wrestling brain is is this going to end up with Tucker versus Shapiro at WrestleMania? Because this is fucking woeful. This is just playing clips from the Tucker Carlson show, stuff that he says every day. How is it bad?
To fight in the Middle East or in any way involving us in a war that has nothing to do with prosperity and peace at home, nothing, in other words, to do with us Americans, then I have a right to call you out and be really offended because it's my family. They live here. It's not a joke to me. There's nothing abstract about it.
What's the rebuttal? I'm telling you now, Shapiro better supply some argument in this, because this is a 0 out of 10 so far. This is appallingly bad. And it's been hyped to the moon by the 7. This has been hyped so much. I'm disappointed. I was actually expecting something. This is awful.
But most of all, Tucker Carlson acts as an ideological launderer for other people's evils. Tucker Carlson says many inflammatory things, always buying back just enough of it to appear as though he's not saying what he's clearly saying. He's a master of gaslighting. Tucker Carlson, for example, would never...
Ben Shapiro is calling somebody else a master of gaslighting. What do they call it? Chutzpah? Fucking hell. Somebody else is a master of gaslighting, though.
Never say out loud what Nick Fuentes does. He wouldn't say the things many of his guests say. And so instead, he acts as an ideological launderer. He takes other people's hideous ideas, he softens them, he treats them with love and care, and then he provides them with a massive signal boost. He isn't merely talking to people in good faith, of course. He's promoting certain people and ideas and attacking others. So, for example, he'll ask a series of wildly obsequious questions to Nick Fuentes. He'll even let Nick Fuentes' support for Joseph Stalin slide.
It's actually funny. It was December 18th. I remember because that's an important date to me. And what? It's Joseph Stalin's birthday.
Oh.
I'm a fan.
You're a fan of Stalin's?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was an admirer. But we don't need to go into that, I guess. Like,
well, that's... okay, let's get back to it. We'll circle back to that.
But he will...
Okay, but why is... Like, we didn't get the reason why. And like, it's not like automatically like, okay, all right. He could have made more of it. But in and of itself, it's still not like a massive gotcha to be interested. Like, at this time, Stalin is a historical figure who died, you know, 80 years ago, you know, 75 years ago. Soviet Union hasn't existed since 1991. People are looking back on the historical record. I am. I've got a video coming out later this week looking at steel production under Stalin and asking how was there an 850% increase in steel production under this system that you told me doesn't work? And people are asking that because they're watching their own countries falling apart. And they're asking, like, okay, what has worked before? People are looking around. And they're saying, oh, hold on a second, they had a massive increase in industrial production under Joseph Stalin. I've got a video later this week asking that question. I wrote a book on libertarian economics, but I'm asking that question because genuinely I want to know, how did this happen? Because the factories are there. The industrial base is still there in Russia. The oil production and the gas production that Stalin built are still there and the basis of the Russian economy today. That happened. It didn't not happen. It actually happened. So it's not in and of itself enough to just play the clip unanswered. You need an argument, Ben. You need an argument.
Grilled Ted Cruz about the population of Iran. Tucker Carlson will have on Vladimir Putin's evil anti-American mouthpiece, Alexander Dugin, and then praise him.
Alexander Dugin is a 62-year-old Russian academic philosopher. He spent his life in Moscow. He was an anti-Soviet dissident as a young man. And now he is famous the world over, in the English language press anyway, as, quote, Putin's brain. But he is not a political...
Somebody in the chat mentioned Caleb Morpin. He's coming on. I'm having him on. I got an interview with him coming next week. I'm going to talk to him tomorrow, in fact. So if you've got any questions for Morpin, the ostensible topic for the interview is how come the left became fake? And what's the difference between the fake left and the real left? What went wrong with the left-wing movement in America and in the West in general? That's where I've got Morpin on. Why am I asking him that question? Because he's an expert on that topic. I also have an interview with Todd coming next week, The Praise of Folly, where I'm asking the same question, what went wrong with the dissident right? What were its mistakes? Why did it fail as an intellectual project? So two interviews coming next week, one ostensibly looking at the right, one looking at the left. But if Stalin comes up, I'll ask him about Stalin as well, because he, like me, has looked into what went on in the secret speech by Khrushchev. He, like me, has looked into the evidence and been like, hold on a second, maybe Khrushchev lied, you know? And there's enough historical distance, and the Cold War was a long time ago, for people to seriously ask these questions of history again. It's not actually verboten or forbidden or taboo or anything to ask these academic questions as people are doing. So, you know, anyway, here he is talking to Alexander Dugin, but I know lots of people who have interviewed Alexander Dugin. Ara McIntyre had Alexander Dugin on. Mike, what's that? Millerman has had Dugin on loads of times. So this in and of itself, like, he's a figure that a lot of people have been reading. He has interesting theories about the direction of world history and Russia's place within it. Russia is currently the biggest geostrategic rival next to China against NATO. So it's actually interesting to understand how Russians are thinking at this moment. It's interesting. It's relevant. Vital, even, to understand what a man like Dugin is thinking. So this is good journalism from Tucker Carlson. Why aren't you interviewing Ben Shapiro? Why aren't you interested in what is being said by some of Putin's mouthpieces? Your position just seems to be, just shut up, don't ask any questions, and bomb, 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 bomb. Anyway, let's carry on.
Political figure here in Russia. He is, once again, a philosopher. And his ideas are deeply offensive to some people. In August of 2022, his only daughter was murdered in Moscow when a car bomb killed her. U.S. intelligence says she was murdered by the Ukrainian government, and we take that at face value. But what's interesting is that, once again, Alexander Dugin is not a military leader. He's not a close daily advisor to Vladimir Putin. He is a writer who writes about big ideas. And for this, his books have been banned by the Biden administration in the United States. You cannot buy them on Amazon. Banning books in the United States because the ideas inside are too dangerous. He's often described, again, in the English language press as far right. We'll let you assess. But we wanted to talk to him about some of his ideas, these ideas that are so dangerous that his only daughter was murdered over them and his book's been banned in the United States.
So it seems like Tucker's taking a free speech, free inquiry, free marketplace of ideas view. And Ben Shapiro agrees with Biden for banning it. Is that what I meant to the reason I'm asking these questions is because Shapiro is not actually telling us what I meant to think about these clips. So I'm just giving you my thoughts and then trying to imagine what Ben Shapiro might say. Because the fact he's included these clips suggests they're wrong or bad in some way. So the correct thing to do is to ban this dude's books because you don't like Putin. Is that it? Ben, you going to say anything?
Tucker Carlson will have on a Hitler-friendly pseudo-historian to minimize the Holocaust and blame Winston Churchill for World War II. And he will call him America's best and most honest historian.
I thought Churchill was the chief villain of the Second World War.
I mean, where's the lie? I've looked into Churchill extensively on this channel, and I have concluded, looking at reading books written by British patriots like Peter H. Nicol, Britain's Blunder. I read that. I did a 10-stream series reading through that book line by line. I've read Peter Hitchens. I've read Pat Buchanan. I've watched documentaries by centre-left BBC documentary maker Adam Curtis. And continually, again and again, I wonder and ask about, maybe Churchill's legacy is not all that. Why did Winston Churchill bankrupt this country, give away the British Empire, give half of all of Europe to Stalin, who I meant to hate, according to Ben Shapiro, okay? But why did he do that? For what? There were so many efforts made on both sides to create a peace. So many efforts made, which were sabotaged by Churchill personally. And what have we won for it? You look around Britain now. Oh, at least not speaking German. What was it for? And a lot of people are rightly asking that question right now. Anyway, let's carry on.
Now, he didn't kill the most people. He didn't commit the most atrocities. but I believe, and I don't really think, I think when you really get into it and tell the story right and don't leave anything out, you see that he was primarily responsible for that war becoming what it did, becoming something other than an invasion of Poland. You know, Germany, look, they put themselves into a position, and Adolf Hitler is chiefly responsible for this, but his whole regime is responsible for it, that when they went into the East in 1941, they launched a war where they were completely unprepared to deal with the millions and millions of prisoners of war, of local political prisoners and so forth that they were going to have to handle. They went in with no plan for that. And they just threw these people into camps, and millions of people ended up dead there.
Is that true or not? Because that's my understanding of the situation too, from every book I've ever read on it. Is that true or not? It is true. It did cause all of that. What he just said is factually verifiable. So what's the rebuttal from Ben Shapiro?
And that is the pseudo-historian that Tucker Carlson has said is the best and most honest historian in America. Tucker Carlson will have on over and over a pro-Chinese propagandist who used global warming to promote global socialism, all in order to criticize Israel and hug China.
Israel has run American foreign policy in the Middle East for 30 years. That's how it works. This is actually the truth. If we drop our angst on big bad...
Is Ben Shapiro trying to like red pill his own audience just through playing clips of Jeffrey Sachs? Like, what's going on?
Russia. Actually, we didn't have a chance to talk about it this time. Maybe another time, big bad China, which is also not going to invade the United States, not going to threaten us, not going to go to war with us. They got they're trying to deal with aging, and they've got their declining population and many other things. Not that they're falling apart. It's a very...
Yeah, we can look at Chinese history and count the number of times that China has invaded anybody, even its own neighbors, on two hands. That they tend not to do that. It's just not their MO for whatever reason. And part of it is because China sees itself as the center of the world. Chinese are very, they're not outward looking. They're kind of insular, and they just self-centered is a way to put it. You know, so they don't really care about a lot of other things. They just don't think in the same way. You know, I'm not an expert on China. But I've read enough about China, I've read enough history of China to know that it's just not in their character, right? To, you know, they don't play Sid Meier's Civilization with an expansionist military policy. They're the sort of people who build up the cities and make all the tech improvements and focus on other, like, build, you know, I've got a history of China here, right? And literally, there's about 100 pages where it's just like, yeah, and this dude came in and then he just got fucking obsessed with dams and he spent 100 years just building loads and loads of dams. And then he announced a massive irrigation project. And I mean, Chinese history is like that. There's a lot of like wars between themselves and things like that. But there's also like large periods where it's just like, yeah, it's all about the dam building project. Not a lot of times where they're just out building empires and things like that, because China in and of itself is already an empire, if that makes any sense. So anyway, let's carry on.
Impressive civilization, but they're not a threat to the United States, honestly, and Iran is not a threat.
Tucker Carlson, of course, brings on pro-Hamas voices episode after episode after episode. The instances are almost limitless. Tucker Carlson will host Andrew Tate, a pornographer and scam artist who mocks rape victims and preaches a cult of narcissism and cruelty. And of course, Tucker Carlson will glorify him and present him as a maligned truth teller rather than an emblem of moral rot. See, this is how Tucker Carlson's ideological laundering works. You bring your dirty, ugly ideologies to Tucker Carlson's rhetorical car wash. He mixes it with some of the vestigial respect America.
Hold on a second. You just played clips of Jeffrey Sachs and Marta May, Dara Cooper. Nothing they said was ugly or morally reprehensible or like all of these things. Almost every Tucker clip can be fact-checked. And I'm not seeing a lot of bad stuff there. He's just thrown in Andrew Tate at the end there. But so far, we are 25 minutes in, and Shapiro has failed to make a single coherent argument, counter-argument, anything that he's played. This has been so bad. I'm starting to worry that I'm not going to be able to make it through.
Americans have for him from his Fox News days, and voila, hideous ideas suddenly become mainstream. And then, of course, Tucker denies he said anything controversial at all. He was just asking questions. He was just interviewing people. You don't want him to cancel people, do you? Of course, there is no First Amendment right to a Tucker Carlson sensual massage.
What are you talking about? Andrew Tate already has an audience of fucking like 3 million young men. Andrew Tate, I hear young blokes talking about Andrew Tate in the gym. He is famous already. Tucker Carlson couldn't cancel Andrew Tate if he wanted to. And as a journalist, as someone who's interested in the world and the society that he's living in, he had him on to say, well, what are you about? Why has this guy got such a big following? That's the sort of thing the BBC used to do. It's the sort of thing Louis Theroux used to do, who actually met Nick Fuentes back in the day. Anyway, let's carry on.
But to listen to Tucker, you'd think there was, so long as you despise America, oppose President Trump's foreign policy, and bear a peculiar dislike of Jews. Tucker Carlson, you see, is a coward. And here is where...
There's been no argument apart from name-calling, ad hominem, right? This is the high verbal IQ on display. No substantive argument made whatsoever in 26 minutes. Name-calling, that's all he's got so far. Guilt by association and name-calling. And then the guilty associates are like Jeffrey Sachs and a bloke saying... Yeah, we may want to look at the facts of World War II and wonder like what actually happened there. What the fuck? And, oh, Moscow's a clean city. What is this?
His relationship with Nick Fuentes begins, with Nick Fuentes correctly pointing out that Tucker Carlson is a coward. You see, Tucker Carlson, a few weeks back, had on Candace Owens to treat her to his usual ideological laundering services. That's after years of Candace Owens saying things like this.
And it is...
Candace Owens, former Daily Wire employee, Candace Owens, who had a show on your channel up until about a year ago. What the fuck is he talking about? Candace Owens was on Daily Wire like last year.
The case that dinosaur bones, for whatever reason, are always just found by the paleontologists. Like, it's not like you and me walking outside. I'm like, hey, a dinosaur bone. And or by somebody who's related to a paleontologist. It's very strange. And then, but it was just convenient for Israel that JFK got shot. It was just convenient, you guys. Totally convenient. It was convenient for Israel, by the way, when the towers went down.
I just want to be clear. Anything happens to me, blame the Zionists. Like 1,000% blame the Zionists. Like let that be my parting word.
I'm waking people up to the fact that pedophiles are in power. Yes. They are literally in power.
Well, is that true or not? Is that true or not? Is Jeffrey Epstein a thing or not? I mean, what I'm meant to think here is that Candace Owens is just a nutter, just a conspiratorial nut job. Okay, and she is, by the way. But what I'm meant to think is this is just so crazy, this talk. But it's not that crazy, is it? It's not that crazy to suggest that there's a lot of people who have been caught up in pedo rings and dodgy sex parties. Prince Andrew has just had all his royal titles stripped for his involvement with Epstein. Puff Daddy went to jail. Right, so this is not like built on nothing, is it though? There's quite a lot of stuff. There's a there, to quote Dickie Spencer, there's a there there. There's a there there. And also to quote Richard Spencer again, for Ben Shapiro, so far there's not been a lot of there. There's just been no argument, not even the attempt at an argument, just calling him names.
And that is intentional because then they can be controlled while they are in power. And they are also exhibiting signs of a psychopathology that lets them know that they will...
The guy in the chat called Dave Long saying, AA is so clever. Music to my ears. Absolutely. Absolutely. I've got a high verbal IQ. Tested at the age of 12. I wonder what Ben Shapiro's verbal IQ is.
Do harm to the masses and feel nothing because they were themselves, many of them, raped when they were children. Yep. It is not a coincidence that Justin Trudeau is gay. Obama, gay. Mm-hmm. Zelensky, gay. Emmanuel Macron, gay and married to a trans man who molested him when he was a child.
Well, Candace Owens had recently hosted Nick Fuentes, and this led Tucker Carlson, in an attempt to dissociate from Fuentes, to label him a weird little gay kid operating from a basement, and a Fed as well.
Some guy saying that AA also dresses well. I don't know. I don't know about that. There are sharper dressers out there.
That's obvious to me. I've been around a long time. I know when I see it.
Yeah, and I will say I don't understand it. We were very kind to him. Like, I truly, like, we almost said, like, we felt maybe he was a bit lonely. We should invite him back for dinner. I mean, that's how good of an experience I had.
It's
was a 180. So it's either A, it's being driven from, like, a little boy insecurity, and he just was so worried that he, like, just went on the attack because he doesn't know how to have normal relations after being banned everywhere.
Well, I think there's kind of that
could be one element.
The angry gay kid thing going on.
Well, Nick Fuentes did not take kindly to this. After all, here was Tucker Carlson.
So what? We're just going to relive the Tucker feud now that led up to this meeting. We're going to relive the feud. Shapiro, I honestly thought they'd play a couple of kids' clips at the start and then go on like a 20-minute rant full of like substantive facts, don't care about your feelings, arguments. But this is literally just the worst shit I have ever seen. We're just gonna now sit and watch what we all watch, what millions of people watched in the summer. What? Ben, you have to do better than this, mate. If I was booking this, I would take Shapiro off the card. Levin, right? You say what you want about him. Top heel energy, gangster energy, right? That was a top heel promo from Levin. This is shit. And if I was booking this, I'd be like, look, Shapiro is past it. We cannot put this guy on the card. He is not a draw in 2025. Tucker is a draw. Fuentes is a draw. And Levin, you've got to give it to him, cut a top heel promo. This is dog shit. This is absolute dog shit so far. 0 out of 10 effort from Ben Shapiro. And whoever his researchers or editors were for this is fucking woeful. Absolutely woeful. Just so bad. I'm disappointed. I'm throwing out my popcorn. I'm really unhappy about it. Same old shit. Same old shit. Come on, Ben. This is shite.
Nick Fuentes correctly sees as a fellow traveler, dismissing him, all the while refusing to say the sorts of things for which Fuentes takes slings and arrows. And so Fuentes unleashed on him as a fraud and also as an expert on gaslighting.
Tucker is like the goat of gaslighting. But unironically, he goes up at the memorial and said, Charlie Kirk told the truth. You know who else told the truth? Jesus. And you know what happened? He got killed by Jews. And people said, so are you saying that the Jews killed Charlie Kirk in the way that they killed Jesus for telling the truth because they hate the truth? And
this is just bad booking as well, though, right? Because in pro wrestling, when two former adversaries then bury the hatchet and form a tag team, it's pretty bad form to bring up their previous feuds. So this is like, even by the standards of pro wrestling, like dirty play from Shapiro. Do you know what I mean? You're meant to forget about the fact that Tugboat and Hulk Hogan were best buddies, because now Tugboat is Typhoon. They're not even doing it well. I'm really disappointed by this.
Tucker said, I never said that. You're crazy. I never said that. Everyone eats hummus. What do you mean everyone runs Jerusalem? But I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. Tucker Carlson says, I have so many trust funds, I never have to work.
So what are you doing now, Ben? in order to own Tucker Carlson, we're now playing clips from Fuentes when he was feuding with Carlson, which has the effect of putting Fuentes over. You've got to understand, these clips are putting Fuentes over. Is that actually what's happening here? Because this is so bad. Ben, this is so shit what you're doing here.
Tucker went to a $45,000 per year private high school, then a $45,000 per year selective.
So now I'm meant to listen to Fuentes after you've just buried him at the start, saying, oh, this is a terrible guy, you should never listen to him. Now you're unironically asking me to listen to the points he made about Tucker when they were feuding. High verb IQ.
Ivy League school in New England. Tucker Carlson's daddy was a Reagan appointee. And then, after years of bragging about being an elite, bragging about being so out of touch and so rich, now he's going to be the spokesperson for all the white people. Now he's going to roll up his sleeves.
He's literally playing the Dusty Rhodes promo from their feud. He's just playing the highlights reel. This was the promo that made turn me around on Fuentes. This was the one that a lot of people who had disliked him for years said, actually, this kid is saying, like, he makes some good points here. And he's playing it for his audience. This is, psychologically, this is stupid. Unless secretly he's trying to put him over, this is mentally bad from this objectively bad video from Shapiro.
I just like to hunt and fish in my log cabin. I care about Klarna and credit card debt. But then when it comes to me, I'm one of the real disaffected white people. You want to talk about me and them? I am them.
Well, there was one big problem for Tucker Carlson in all of this. Nick Fuentes is absolutely 100% correct. Tucker is a coward. And Tucker's audience...
Oh, so now you want us to believe Nick. You want us to now sympathize and listen to his arguments. All right. So the first substantive point you've made this entire video, 29 points in, you've had Nick make the point for you. I'm literally sitting here open-mouthed by how bad this is. And remember, it was sold as the best Ben Shapiro show of all time. Can't believe it. I'm just going to finish this nub of this Monte Cristo 3. I'm going to shut up for a while.
Much of which he shares with Nick Fuentes knows it. And so Tucker hit upon a final stratagem. He let Nick Fuentes cuck him. He brought Nick Fuentes on to legitimate his ideology. He signal boosted Fuentes, glossed him, shined him, presented him to the world, all in order to protect his own reputation with his online base, a base he is competing over with Nick Fuentes. Now, of course, Tucker has a right to do all of this.
But also, Ben, a base that both of them are competing with you over. Tucker, like Daniel Day-Lewis in There Will Be Blood, is drinking your milkshake, Ben, and you don't like it. I fear the Daily Wire is struggling, that they're hemorrhaging money hand over fist.
Drainage. Drainage, Eli.
As for the 100th time, he can do what he likes. This is America. But there's no question that Tucker has become the most virulent super spreader of vile ideas in America. And the rest of us who oppose those vile ideas have every right to call him that. There is one other element here that's even darker, if possible. Tucker Carlson preys on the friendship he proclaims with others. And then he knifes them directly between the shoulder blades when convenient for him. Tucker Carlson is, in short, a terrible friend. Tucker Carlson was supposedly Charlie Kirk's friend. Charlie believed that Nick Fuentes was vermin. That's a direct quote. He believed that because Nick Fuentes dedicated his life to destroying Charlie Kirk and TPUSA from the inside. In fact, here's Nick Fuentes describing Charlie Kirk the month before Charlie was murdered.
Charlie Kirk cannot call himself a Christian anymore. Sorry, you forfeited that. I do not want to hear, and you cannot allow Charlie Kirk to go to one more public event, one more question and answer, one more ask me anything, without being protested, without being shouted down, without being interrogated about this. This guy goes around from campus to campus in the most artificial and phony and fake way.
And here is Nick Fuentes describing.
I mean, it's not a secret that they didn't like each other. He said that tons of times. Everybody knows they didn't like each other. The whole Groper movement was built on griping Charlie Kirk.
Describing how he destroyed TPUSA from the inside.
Whether he chooses to confront me or not, whether he has dignity and honor or not, it's just a matter of time. My ideas are already there. I've already impregnated your organization. I took Turning Point USA and I fucked it. I took your organization, I took your baby, Turning Point USA, and I fucked it.
Okay, the language is a little bit coarse, and I don't condone this language. However, basically true, isn't it? It's basically true. The pressure that the Groypers put on Charlie Kirk caused him to hemorrhage support until he started singing their tune. So the strategy basically was working over time. And this is what caused the problem with the donors, if you remember. It caused the problem. It caused the rift with Bill Ackman and all these other people because Charlie was caught between his audience, his base, right, who were listening to people like Nick, and the donor class. That is the whole thing. And how do I know that? I watched in research for a video on conspiracy theories. I watched hours of Ian Carroll and fucking Candice Owens and all these different people who documented this tediously in real time. That's how I know it.
And I've been fucking it. And that's why it's filled with Groypers. That's why your whole crew, that's why the people around you, that's why your chapter presidents, that's why your attendees, they're all Groypers.
And here's Nick Fuentes calling Charlie Kirk unpatriotic and talking about how he's a retarded idiot and saying all firepower should be focused on Charlie Kirk.
I think a lot of people are starting to find out Charlie Kirk is not the patriot that he says he is. And so I look at what happened last night and I think to myself, this is totally a doable operation. You know, Charlie Kirk in the grand scheme of things is just some retarded idiot. The dog is terrified. I had to go upstairs and reassure him because I'm screaming at my stream, at my screen, calling Charlie Kirk a bitch and everything. The contrast could not be.
But this is like everybody knows this. How does everybody know this? Because millions of people watch Candice Owens and Tucker Carlson and Nick. So everybody already knows this. Like, who is this video for? Because all of these people have bigger audiences than Ben Shapiro, including and Andrew Tate, by the way. He's got a bigger audience than Ben Shapiro, too. So they know, all of this is ancient history to everybody because everybody knows it already. So when Ben Shapiro is making this, is he making the video for the donor? Like, is this video simply for the consumption of Mark Levin? Or is he making this video for New York Times journalists? Or is he making it for Jonathan Greenblatt, who doesn't have time? Right? I'm sure the ADL are all over this, by the way. Maybe that's where he got the clips. I don't know. But you understand what I'm saying, right? Who is the audience for this? Like, who is the intended audience for this podcast? Because everybody knows all of this stuff.
More clear. Charlie Kirk is a totally unexceptional human being. A moral struggle that's happening on, you know, the higher dimension, right? Which is Christ versus the devil. Who does Charlie Kirk serve? You know, is he really a Christian? Is he really Christ-like when he supports foreign wars and Israel and all this? Look at the people he's taking money from. You know, so the guy...
These are all legitimate points. These are all legitimate points that were made. And clearly they were having an effect before the tragic events of the Charlie Kirk assassination. By all accounts, they were having an effect. We've seen the receipts and the texts and the backroom shenanigans. They're all out there. Candice Owens, the biggest podcaster in the world, put them all out there for everybody to read.
He's a fake Christian. The guy's not a patriot. He hates our country. He's un-American. Let's focus all our firepower on Charlie Kirk. Why are we doing this? It's because Charlie Kirk is a fake patriot, a fake Christian, and he hates his people. He's anti-white. This is our angle.
Nick Fuentes despised Charlie Kirk. And for good reason, because Charlie Kirk actually opposed Nick's evil program. Here's what Charlie Kirk had to say about Nick Fuentes' agenda.
But if you go back to the original founding fathers, they intended this to be a European nation for white men of good stock and character.
Yes. So can you show me, let me answer the question. Can you show me where in the United States Constitution it says that?
It wasn't in the Constitution.
It wasn't in the Constitution because they didn't believe it.
The founding.
What does believe? The phrase e pluribus unum mean? What does the phrase e pluribus unum mean?
Why is that relevant?
Because it was on every founding document and presidential seal from our founding, which means out of many, one. You, sir, and your ideology is not conservative. It is right-wing, identitarian. It has no place in the conservative movement, my friend. Get out of line. Get out of line.
I don't platform trolls, and I don't platform, and I don't discuss people, or I don't debate with people that are not good faith actors. And
you debate Maoists and people they can, who champion.
They can keep on yelling at how successful we are and our big events and well over 1,000 employees, but a lot of jealousy out there. We build, they complain. We succeed, we win. They blame the Jews.
After Charlie's death, TPUSA made Tucker Carlson one of its chief faces. Tucker, of course, spoke at Charlie's memorial, where he implied that hummus-eating nefarious Jews killed Charlie, with no mention of the ideology of the actual alleged murderer, who was, of course, a trans activist gay furry. Tucker Carlson, in fact, has spent more time talking about Jews and Israel since Charlie's death than about the transtifa ideology that motivated Charlie Kirk's killer. By a long shot, it's not close, which is not a surprise, since he seems to spend very little time these days attacking anyone on the left. Well, now Tucker Carlson has seen fit to launder Nick Fuentes, the person who hated Charlie most and who wished him destruction. That's not an act of friendship. It's an act of sick evil. And then, of course, there's Tucker Carlson's relationship with the vice.
I mean, who's really laundering the memory of Charlie Kirk? Because a lot of the laundering of Charlie Kirk's memory that I've seen, and again, value-free analysis, has come from people like you, Ben. You seem to be trying to like milk the assassination for every last drop you can for your agenda. Your agenda being forever wars on behalf of that little nation in the Middle East. Let's not pretend that that's not what you've been doing, because that is what you've been doing in broad daylight, thinking that nobody would notice. Well, I noticed. Let's carry on.
President. Certainly, Vice President Vance has been quite generous with Tucker Carlson. That loyalty was not reciprocated last week, to say the least. Here, for example, is what Nick Fuentes has said about J.D. Vance's wife, Usha.
Andrew Tate and Bronze Age Pervert and all these people, for years, all they talk about is going to the gym, being a vitalist, fighting the Matrix, India smells bad, all this kind of shit. And now they're all in favor of a fat race mixer who's married to a Jeet who named his son Vivek, who was mentored by a Jewish neocon and a gay fed, Peter Thiel. This guy has...
I'm actually surprised that Shapiro included that. That was a little, because I noticed, by the way, that the rants on Tucker edited out the bits where he accused Tucker of being CIA. That bit wasn't included. Interesting that he included that bit on Vance and Thiel and...
As a non-white wife and a kid named Vivek, this guy is going to be a defender of white identity? I don't think so. This guy's going to defend American identity?
You slammed J.D. Vance for having an Indian wife. Yet Trump's wife is an immigrant who is working here legally for a time. His son is half foreign, bilingual, and holds dual citizenship. Yet you give him a pass. You're either a hypocrite or just retarded.
She's white! Dude, she's white!
If we had millions of Slovenian supermodels immigrating to America, I don't think we'd have a big problem with it.
Tucker Carlson had on.
What is he wrong?
On Nick.
I'm saying, I mean, I have noticed that when immigration became noticeably third world, non-European, that is really where a lot of the populations started to revolt, right? So, okay, you can disagree with him, you can agree with him, but it strikes me that that is what a lot of people are upset about. The whole H-1B visa thing with Vivek Ramaswamy and that whole quote-unquote crash out seemed to be about that. So, again, what is the point that Ben Shapiro thinks he's making?
Fuentes and did not ask him a single question about any of this. He just brought him on to launder his ugly ideas and make him more popular. That doesn't seem quite like the act of a friend. Which, finally, brings us to the Heritage Foundation. Now, I have a long and admiring relationship with the Heritage Foundation. One of the very first outlets to pick up my syndicated column when I was 17 years old, 24 years ago, was townhall.com, then a property of the Heritage Foundation. I know most of the leadership very well, and I have for decades. I know Kevin Roberts, and I like him, and I'm grateful for his contributions to the conservative movement. If you're a regular watcher of this show, you can check the interview I did with Kevin on the release of his book just last December, which is why what Kevin Roberts did last week is tragic and awful. He put out a statement that Heritage Foundation didn't just stand by Tucker Carlson. Kevin instead said openly and repeatedly that Tucker Carlson can do nothing ever that will sever his relationship with the conservative movement. He said that after and in defense of Tucker's glossing of Hitler defender Nick Fuentes. And he added that only members of the globalist class, direct quote, a venomous coalition, direct quote, subject to the dictates of someone else's agenda, direct quote, oppose Heritage's ongoing relationship with Tucker Carlson.
Where's the lie? What's the problem? So you want, Ben Shapiro wants Heritage to disown Tucker. Is this what this is really about?
Which means that according to Kevin Roberts, apparently, anyone opposing the ongoing mainstreaming of Tucker Carlson is acting on behalf of a foreign power. Kevin's statement is a betrayal of the Heritage Foundation's history and principles.
Tell you what, you started this by saying that you're against cancelling. This sounds like an attempt to get Kevin Roberts cancelled. Really, really seems like you're trying to get him cancelled. Value-free analysis, Ben.
Which is presumably why both Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes loved it. And that's a tragedy, because America needs a robust conservative organization based on principle and ideas, not
the principle of free speech, the principle of, you know, you don't cancel people, the principle of free inquiry, the principle of freedom of association. Those are principles that Kevin Roberts stood for when he said that, conservative principles that you stand for. And it sounds like that hurt your feelings and that you, in an act of petulance, want him cancelled. That's what it sounds like to me.
Not personal loyalty to bad actors like Tucker Carlson. We need strong leaders in the conservative movement willing to speak out against the moral rot that threatens our future. I hope Kevin Roberts and Heritage show us that they can still be those leaders. But if not, we'll have to look elsewhere.
But if not, we'll have to cancel them. If not, we're going to have to just get rid of them. You have displeased the master. How about the conservative movement says, actually, Ben, do you know what? We're going to go with Tucker. You have had your time. Your promos suck. You're right. You've lost a pace. You're not even mentally agile anymore. Same old shit. You've made no arguments in 37 minutes. How about we cancel you, Ben Shapiro? How about you are no longer welcome? And if you want to stand for these things, you can do it over on CNN in the Democrat Party. How about that?
So, why is all of this happening? Because, like the Democratic Party, the Republican Party is being eaten by its radicals. Many in the political class are too cowardly to stand up. Apparently, they're willing to play footsie with Groypers and hug Tucker Carlson out of fear of somehow losing support. They've been bamboozled by the lies of the X algorithm and the TikTok metrics. The left followed its radicals to electoral hell. Apparently, many on the right wish to do the same. Forget the morality, then, for just a moment.
Now, let's just remember that Ben Shapiro argued in 2016 that Trump would be electoral poison and that the way to win elections was to go with people like John McCain. Let's not forget that. Let's not forget that Ben Shapiro, at every stage of Trump's rise, argued that you should tack to conservative principles and be the same old GOP cuck party, right? That existed before Trump. He was a never Trump. He made all of these arguments before against Trump. And now Trump is in the White House. He's trying to do it to Tucker Carlson, arguing that the most popular podcaster in the world, Candice Owens, the second most popular podcaster in the world, or the third most, Tucker Carlson, and up-and-coming hot star Nick Fuentes, who gets millions of views and has got over a million followers, he is trying to argue that these people would be, quote, electoral poison.
Be pragmatic. Here is the thing. Americans hate Nick Fuentes' philosophy. They think it's trash. Republicans, by the polling, think it's trash. Independents think it's trash. Democrats think it's trash. And here's the other thing. Americans hate Tucker Carlson's laundered anti-Americanism. Republicans think it's trash.
Do they, though? Why is it the number one show? Why do millions of people watch him? Why is all of the kind of energy and the views and the hits and so on gone over there? Why are people leaving you? Seems to me that it's popular.
Independents think it's trash. Democrats think it's trash. Americans are not pro-segregation, pro-rape, anti-woman, pro-child marriage, anti-black, anti-Jew, anti-Indian, anti-Latino, anti-Constitution, pro-Hitler nutjobs like Nick Fuentes. And Americans are not pro-Putin, pro-Iran, pro-China, pro-Venezuela, pro-Hamas, pro-Fuentes, pro-Tate idiots like Tucker Carlson. They hate this vile garbage. If Republicans decide to cower before the likes of neo-Nazis and their propagandizers, they deserve to lose. And they will lose. Neo-Nazis and their propagandizers are...
The reason, Wimpy, that I am dismantling a section of the right that nobody's watching right and has any time for is because my entire timeline of paid off Hasbro merchants, okay, the $7,000 squad, have been hyping this show to the absolute moon and telling me it's the best thing they've ever seen, the best show that Ben Shapiro has ever done in his career, the most vital thing that anybody should watch. That's why I bought into the hype, and sadly, I've been disappointed because this has been nothing but, it's a naught out of 10 effort. We're almost there. It's awful.
Not Republicans. They're not America First. They're not MAGA. They sure as hell aren't conservative. These people aren't to my right. They're not attached in any way to the fundamental principles of conservatism. And these people have already declared themselves to be...
Yes, Ryan Lopez, Hasbro, the sweet manufacturers. That's what I'm talking about. Clean out your ears.
My enemies. I'd be a fool not to take them seriously. If they get their way, they will hollow out the Republican Party, lead it to electoral catastrophe, and empty it and the country of any semblance of decency in the process. My answer is no. No to the Groypers. No to their publicists like Tucker Carlson. No to those who champion them. No to demoralization. No to bigotry and anti-meritocratic horse shit. No to anti-Americanism. No. This is our country. This is our party. And this is our conservative movement. And I will not stand by while it is handed over to those who betray the most fundamental principles I have spent my entire life defending and advocating. That is a path to defeat and a path to moral oblivion.
Well, you're going to have to put them over in the middle of the ring then, aren't you, Ben? If you're not willing to step aside, right? Because on this display, these two are going to have you for lunch. On this, if this is the best you got, Ben, you are yesterday's man, mate. Yesterday's man. You haven't got a shot. It doesn't matter if you've got an army of 40,000 lawyers, right? And you try to arrest every last person. Won't matter. This is a losing performance. At least Levin had a bit of spunk. This has been shite. I'm disappointed. On behalf of the Zionist faction, I am disappointed. If this is the best you got.
I reject it. Because if we lose the right, we will lose to the left. And either way, we'll lose the country. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Crap. What an awful... I spent 2 hours watching that shit. Can't believe how bad it was. Oh, man. Okay. I'm running late now because that took a really long time to do. I may have to hit Super Thanks next week. Right, I'm going to have to do Super Thanks next week because I'm running long. I'll just hit the Super Chats for today, okay? Because I need to get out of here. Clarence Bodica says, AA, ignore the hate for the mangtards. I know you will. What you do is extremely important against the slop. Please update the Substack playlist for Curtis. I will when I get a chance. I've been very busy recently, but I will do that soon. Lord Scrumptious says, looking back, the way Blair set himself up for power is akin to Fuentes and Tucker. We are at that stage, like Blair, with political system change. Maybe. In my opinion, this fight is kayfabe. It's a front. Well, what's the play, though? I don't really see the play. Unless the play is to retire Ben Shapiro. Because that was so bad. That was really, really bad from Shapiro. Lord Scrumptious says statistics and numbers are easily misleading. And he says Thomas Sowell has been wrong more than once. Philip Hessler says, personally, I think they're playing both sides. The raw, raw aggressive is let's get them argument. And then the calm, conserve, reasonable argument to try to play to both temperaments. The thing is, I didn't really see any argument from Ben. I saw the raw aggression from Levin, but there was no argument. That whole video was a massive Stefan Molyneux, not an argument meme. There wasn't a single argument made, really, of substance in the whole thing. And it was bad rhetorically because he played a lot of his opponent's talking points and then did not rebut them. He just let them sit. It was like a recruitment drive for Tucker Carlson's channel. He also says, I hope you feel better soon. I'm not ill. I'm not ill. Mr. Skinner, but thanks. Thanks for your concern. My voice is going a little bit. I hope it holds up, though, because I've got to go and do an interview tomorrow in London. Another outside appearance. So, Mr. Skinner says, BTR is heavily relied upon Boomer Truth regime. Is heavily relied upon by the high verbal IQs for their arguments. Your deconstruction is more relevant and needed than ever. Next book, please. Well, the first chapter of my new book, Applied Elite Theory, is on Boomer Truth. So the very first chapter is, I haven't got the image here, but so there is a bit of Boomer Truth in there. But in terms of writing the whole book, we may be waiting a while, given where things are. But there's buy this book, Applied Elite Theory. There is a whole section on Boomer Truth and many, many other topics as well. Many, many other topics. So do pick it up. Christian Troy says, AA, I am currently loving my center-left arc. I did have a question. I know you are still good friends with OGC. That's the old Glory Club. Why do they still shill for Rabbi Trump? You'll have to ask them that. $11 cheese says Churchill hate going mainstream could very well be the corner piece coming out of the Jenga tower during all of this. Oh, well, that's the other thing, is that a lot of the meat and bones of Boomer Truth is already being done. It's already kind of falling apart. But it's not quite dead in the water yet. That's part of the issue, really. Red Ensign says media is downstream of power, not upstream. AA 20 to 24. We are watching the war. Are we watching the war? Or just the smoke from the battlefield? Hobby says, Zuma here, the Trumpton arc was impactful to me. I now have 100 acres in Canada, and I'm doing my part to create such an English garden for my son to grow in. Very, very nice, sir. Live your best life as much as you can. Even though we're living in the ashes, you have to make the best of it. Matt D says, prediction. Daily Wire is going to lay off some people, some of its shows after this debacle. I stopped a couple of years ago when Jordan Peterson went full on Zion. Sad IDW warped the brightest 2016 minds. Absolutely. I think Daily Wire is in an existential. I think that was so bad, that video by Shapiro. I haven't had a look at the comments. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets ratioed on his own video because it was so bad. Ballcraft says we deserve a better psyop, Ben. Yeah, absolutely we do. Tucker and Nick deserve better opposition. Mark Levin, I'm putting him in the main event. Shapiro, he's not good enough. You need a better draw. He's lost a step. He's lost a step, I'm afraid. Can't put him in. Booker man, get somebody else in. Roman Henk says, this was exhausting. Drink some water, AA. You sound like a man who's just watched 2 hours of Ben Shapiro. I know. The truth is, I shouldn't have had that Monte Cristo 3 because I already had two cigars earlier on. And a third cigar puts a strain on your throat. That's my issue, really. Bloodbase has gifted 10 memberships to people. Very nice of you, sir. I'm sure they will appreciate it. Philip Hisler says, now listening to it, I see the hubris and insanity of Ben's point or lack of. This is the thing. He didn't supply any arguments whatsoever. He didn't think an argument was needed. That's his problem, really. Dengism says, any reflections on Richard Cheney now that he is dead? That's Dick Cheney. Well, he was a higher class of conservative. I'll give him that much. Compared to Shapiro, he was an absolute genius. Maximus Aquilis says Ben Shapiro will talk TV, which is more tiresome and dull. Shapiro was easily worse. I would rather watch James O'Brien than that shit. At least James O'Brien tries to make an argument. That was so bad. It really was. Frayne Sustick says, Levin was at least an honest psycho. This is absolutely. Anon says, it do be like that, Mr. Shapiro. And David last name says, have you checked out Olivia Dean yet? No, I have not checked out Olivia Dean. Now, you may have mentioned that to me before, but I'm a very busy guy. So, Olivia Dean is an artist, an album. Okay, no, maybe I'll have a listen to Olivia Dean on the way back home. What else have I got? There was Entropy. Bloody hell! I hate it when it does that. The Entropy logged out, so I'm going to have to log back in. It's very annoying when that happens. Liminec. Right, I have to just check Entropy because I know people send super chats on there. Let me check the Entropy. Yeah, this was really bad. From actually surprised by how bad it was. Maybe I shouldn't have been surprised, but really poor. Okay, this bit will get me. Coney said, I think it was just Coney there. If anybody else has sent them on Entropy, I'm afraid I didn't get them. Coney says, I'd love to hear more of your hatred of Pitchfork and what it did to the music scene of the 2010s. Either that or a retrospective of the 2000s culturally. Yeah, I've really got a hate boner for Pitchfork. I knew quite a lot of Pitchfork fans and things. I was a music fan at that time. I hate what it did to rap. I really dislike Pitchfork. So yeah, maybe when I've got time. I think, let me just check the chat. Did anybody send? So apparently the Ben Shapiro stream got 29,000 likes, probably botted, and 23,000 dislikes. 29,000 likes, 23,000 dislikes. So not ratioed, but damn close. I mean, that's a pretty bad. Like, let me tell you, the least popular video I have ever done on my channel, in terms of likes versus dislikes, was, hold on a minute. I'll tell you now what my least popular thing ever was in terms of percentage, because pretty much that's a dislike ratio of close to 50-50, which is dire. That's really bad. I'll give you an example. So like the Nima Parvini versus right-wing ideas, right, videos, which were controversial, 93.7% likes on the low IQ bigotry, 93.3% likes on the bourgeois family ideal one, 93% on the declining birth rate, 95% on free market, 93% on technophobia. So, right, the very worst one was on ethno-narcissism, right? People didn't like that one. Still got 72% likes, even on that video, right? So that, and those weren't popular. You know what I'm saying? Like, most of my videos get 99% plus likes, on, you know, to dislike ratio. So that was like the absolute worst. Shapiro's has got even worse than that. It's gone even worse than that. So that's very interesting indeed. Very interesting. I don't know if anybody sent super stuff on Entropy. I don't think so. I think Entropy just crashed or something. Brilliant. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to have to drive back now. I have a video coming out at 5 p.m. On this week, I'm doing double shots on the videos. Don't ask me why. I've got an excess of videos at the moment, so I'm double pushing them out. But this week there is the video at, what's it called, that video? Coming out at 5 p.m. and it's on Mamdani's wife. Mamdani's wife. And a shitstorm that you probably missed, right? Because of my center-left leanings now, my Twitter algo has become more left-wing. So I'm seeing a lot more left-wing content on my feed. And there's been a progressive infighting at the moment on Mamdani's wife not wearing a hijab, right? So it's actually a very interesting thing. So, yeah, check that out, and I'll catch you all next time. Frame Suzik says, are you noticing Anna Kasparian dropping gems daily? Yes. Brilliant. All right, bye, everyone.
What goes on in this town is none of your business.
As long as I'm living here, it is.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
Well, that's easily fixed.